Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and our topic today is healthcare reform. My guest is Dr. Vern Sabo. He is a 1979 graduate of the University of Western States, formerly called Western States Chiropractic College. He also holds two diplomates in orthopedics and neurology, which is the chiropractic equivalent of a board certification. Good morning, Vern. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning, Ann.
Okay, so you're on a committee, the Governor's Committee. Tell me, what's that committee?
I'm on the Health Evidence Review Commission.
And what does that committee do?
Well, the Health Evidence Review Commission does a number of things. It has subcommittees that work with the Essential Benefits Package, putting that together. The subcommittee that I serve on is the Evidence-Based Guidelines Development Committee.
Evidence-based guidelines. Okay, so this is talking about what actually works in healthcare.
Exactly. As Governor Kitzhaber has stated, who started the Oregon Health & Science University Center for Evidence-Based Policy, is that we want to utilize interventions that are evidence-based so that we're not wasting limited resources on, quite frankly, on treatments and procedures that don't work. And so our group is to review the scientific literature and existing guidelines and come up with the state of Oregon's own guidelines as per what works, what doesn't, and then give coverage guidance to the insurers as per what should be covered. The first guidelines we developed, interestingly, were on low back pain.
So how did you decide, like, where to even start? I mean, like, that's, I mean, the whole picture of whatever it is, cold, flu, pneumonia, you know, HIV, hepatitis. I mean, there's, like, so much. How did you decide to start with low back?
Well, you know, actually, I don't know the answer to that question other than its prevalence, and that's really
right.
What they're looking at is the 60 most common conditions, and low back is very, very common. And then the other portion of the equation is the expense, the associated expense with that particular condition. And with low back pain, it's quite substantial.
Okay, so let's just talk about what evidence did you come up with?
Well, again, what we did was look at existing guidelines. Cause to recreate the wheel is time-consuming, expensive, and there's limited time for the folks on the different committees. And so there was we looked at existing guidelines, and that started with the Center for Evidence-Based Policy. And they looked at existing guidelines by, gosh, if I can remember the name of the organization, it's the American Association of Family Physicians. And they came up, led by Cho, with guidelines relative to low back. Now, we've looked at those, looked at the quality, used a very specific instrument to determine which one of the low back pain guidelines that are in existence are the most evidence-based, and then utilized those, and then we put our own little tweaks on them as per additional evidence. And input by the committee. The Oregon Chiropractic Association gave input and came up with Oregon's version, which is now known and has been adopted by the state of Oregon. It's called the State of Oregon Evidence-Based Guidelines on Low Back Pain.
Okay, so do you want to give the briefest summary of what those
are?
As
you know, I'm a chiropractic physician specialized in orthopedics, neurology, and forensic science, and in practice here in Albany. A practice started by my father in 1956. So as chiropractors, we are the specialists in the treatment of low back pain and low back injuries. And so part and parcel to that, what is hugely important about these guidelines is kind of a validation of what we've seen anecdotally through 100 years of chiropractic practice, and that is what we do work, spinal manipulation, chiropractic adjustments to the low back. And based now on existing guidelines in the world's scientific evidence, the state of Oregon recommends the only non-pharmaceutical treatment intervention that the state of Oregon now recommends for the acute stage of low back pain the first 4 weeks is spinal manipulation, what we do. 94% of all spinal manipulation in this country is performed by chiropractic physicians because we take more hours in it, we're better trained, We can do differential diagnosis. In fact, we're the ones that should be doing it because we're the best at it and we have a special interest in it. And so our treatment is the only thing recommended for the first 4 weeks that is non-pharmaceutical. That is huge. Now, it also recommends chiropractic spinal manipulation for subacute and chronic low back pain beyond 4 weeks. But then that's when other interventions, the state of Oregon also recommends based on the evidence, such as yoga and acupuncture. But for the first 4 weeks, spinal manipulation is the only non-pharmaceutical intervention that is recommended by the state of Oregon. Now, the first-line treatment, interestingly, first-line treatment that the medical docs can use that is recommended in the guidelines is medications such as acetaminophen, or commonly known as Tylenol, and NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as Celebrex, ibuprofen. The downside to that recommendation, unlike spinal manipulation, is, well, gosh, Tylenol just happens to be the leading cause of liver failure in this country, resulting in over 56,000 ER visits each year and a tremendous cost to the system. And NSAIDs are worse, resulting in over 100,000 hospitalizations every year, some 17,000 deaths each year due to gastrointestinal complications. Now, you don't have that with spinal manipulation. So as far as cost to benefit, risk to benefit ratio, we are heads and shoulders above it. So these new guidelines are very, very substantial for the chiropractic profession and for consumers.
Right. Well, obviously, manipulation is safer.
Correct.
Doesn't have any of those. You're not going to get a stomach bleed. So does everyone know about these?
No. They're just now getting out there, but they will. It's very germane to healthcare reform here in the state of Oregon and nationally. And Governor Kitzhaber is very supportive of complementary and alternative medical providers such as chiropractic physicians. And part of healthcare reform, or what's key to healthcare reform, which Governor Kitzhaber has stated over and over again, is not changing how we pay for healthcare, but how we deliver it. And part and parcel to that is what he refers to often as the triple aim, which was Dr. Don Berwicks, who was the head of HHS and just stepped down recently. And the triple aim, which is cornerstone for kind of an outline of changing how you deliver health care, is three goals. One, to improve the health of a defined population. Two, improve the health of your patient base, of all Oregonians. To reduce the per capita cost of health care, how much it costs for health care for each in Oregonian, and to improve outcomes, to improve patient consumer satisfaction and safety. Well, chiropractic physicians practicing what we do, which is non-invasive, absolutely can help the state of Oregon achieve the triple aim and really truly help change how we deliver health care, not just how we pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but then what happens in reality, which is on Friday night, I have a complete, my back is killing me, and I go to the ER. They're going to call you up and say, Dr. Sabo, would you come in and adjust this person? No, they're going to give me a prescription of Vicodin or give me IV morphine and send me home.
Well, the hope is through continued communication with the medical profession, by our profession and other CAM providers, and understanding of the interventions we use that are evidence-based, that we'll start working and communicating together, and hopefully we will get that call. But with that said, there are those instances where the pain is so great that medical intervention as far as pharmacology, pain meds, is absolutely appropriate. And if I was in that kind of pain, I'd want a shot of Demerol
right.
as well. But then ship me off to a chiropractor to get my lower back
right.
manipulated.
Uh-huh. Okay, so is the committee working on other evidence-based outcomes to like go through the whole of diagnoses?
Well, no, it'll be very specific. But of that, we're taking them in order of the most common, the most expensive, and so forth, like percutaneous interventions, which is injection therapy, all types of injection therapy for things like back pain, facet joint injections and disc injections and epidurals and prolotherapy and so forth. is one we've just done. Advanced imaging is another. When is it appropriate to order an MRI? Our provocative discography, where they inject when they inject dye into a disc in the spine, is that appropriate? And if so, when? So
for $11,000, sure, just sign me up tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Well, quite frankly, what the pericutaneous interventions guidelines are saying, and I did the, I also do some peer review for Oregon Health Science University's Center for Evidence-Based Policy. In other words, I sent them out to a, what they view as a medical expert to do the first response back. Then it comes to the Health Evidence Review Commission, which I also sit on, and then the Subcommittee on Guidelines, which I also sit on. Quite frankly, what the state of Oregon is saying is that as far as percutaneous interventions, there's really only one for low back pain relative symptoms that works, and that is epidurals for low back pain and true radiculopathy, which is a pinched nerve root. Everything else, they don't recommend because it there's not evidence of its efficacy or effectiveness.
And, of course, on the just on the word in the town, everyone knows someone who's had a failed, you know, series of injections. Yeah, it helped for a couple days, it helped for a week, it helped for a month.
Correct.
Yeah, so though the evidence is supporting that it really doesn't have long-term effects, and it actually has some long-term negatives.
Oh, yes, especially in prolotherapy. Provocative discography, where they inject the disc. It's been now shown that it'll accelerate because you're punching a hole into a perfectly normal disc, sometimes perfectly normal disc, and then what happens is that disc degenerates at an accelerated level.
Mm-hmm.
So not a good thing.
No. So should people be expecting that these guidelines will be coming out as you work through all these different problems?
Yes.
That sounds great. So how can people find this if they want to read more about it?
Well, generally, they can go to the website of the Health Evidence Review Commission and also the Oregon Health Authority, and the guidelines will be published there. There will also be coverance guidance, and kind of an encapsulation, a real short summary of recommendations of what should be covered, what should be paid for, and so forth. So the Oregon Health Authority webpage and the Health Evidence Review Commission webpage is where you could find those.
You know, the triple aim is really refocuses everything. I mean, it's like changes the whole conversation.
Well, it does, and it brings up a very good point, is that we fit into it so very well as chiropractic physicians because of our non-invasive interventions and our view of true health not being the absence of symptoms or disease, but being an optimal health so that you don't get sick in the first place. And what we do as chiropractic physicians who practice beyond just musculoskeletal treatment, backs and necks, is health promotion and wellness and instructing our patients how to eat well, think well, move well. In other words, how to switch from the eating the packaged, canned, sugary, and salty foods that are devoid of nutrients to moving to clean, fresh, nutrient-dense foods, and how to start exercising, getting off the couch, and instructing our patients the first few little baby steps in lay terms they can understand how they can get started doing aerobic exercise and strength training, and then how to sharpen the saw, de-stressing, and ways of meditation and breathing techniques to de-stress so that you eat well, you move well, you think well. And
right.
The need for regular chiropractic treatment, especially in certain individuals that have biomechanical aberrations and so forth. So we fit into that model. We have many interventions, non-drug interventions, nutraceuticals, botanicals, that we can use, and physical treatments like spinal manipulation to treat many of the 60 most common conditions without the need of all the harmful pharmacology. Hypertension, you know, type 2 diabetes, hypothyroidism, asthma, and so forth. We have natural interventions that can modulate and help those conditions, obesity, smoking cessation, without the use of medications. Now, there is a point where our natural interventions simply don't get the job done, then you bring in the pharmacology, but that should be last, not first.
Mm-hmm.
And in the medical model, it's first. And The other thing is that chiropractic physicians practicing the top of the licensure can act in the capacity of primary care physicians. In other words, we can be their family doc and work with our medical docs when they need acute care that's beyond our scope as far as pharmacology and so forth. But for a great number of people, we can manage their health care needs as their primary care provider. And getting back to the triple aim, we've already seen some of the outcomes of this. There have been studies that have been done that shows what happens when you have a chiropractic or naturopathic physician, it's primary care physicians. And a perfect example is an Illinois study published in 2007. It was a seven-year prospective study of some 70,000 member months, which is huge. And how the study was is that the consumer policyholder could select a chiropractic or naturopathic physician as their primary care physician, or they could select a medical physician or osteopathic physician in the medical model. In the chiropractic, naturopathic managed group, there was after 7 years, there was an 85% reduction in drug costs, a 62% reduction in MRIs and surgeries, 60.2% reduction in hospital admissions, and a 59% reduction in hospital days, with a 95% patient satisfaction rate. Those savings are, quite frankly, off the face of the planet.
So one thing you didn't say was how much money they saved. They must have saved millions.
Well, absolutely. They don't really talk about a specific dollar amount that they save, but they anticipate it would be in the tens of millions over that seven-year period of time. And here's another cost savings.
Wait, let's take a break. When we come back,
sure,
we'll talk about that other cost savings. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. I'm with Dr. Vern Szabo, and we're talking about healthcare reform in Oregon, and we'll be right back. If you want to call us, the number is 503-325-0010. We're back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Vern Szabo. He's a chiropractic physician who's involved with healthcare reform on the governor's policy task force. It's too complicated for me, the name of it. And we're talking about healthcare savings when people choose alternative providers.
Yes, getting back to the study in Illinois, the seven-year study and 70,000 member months and the 85% reduction in drug costs, that is direct drug costs. In other words, the cost of purchasing medication. What it doesn't include is the cost savings, indirect cost savings of reduced adverse drug reactions. If they're not taking the drugs, they're not going to get the reactions. And so when someone has a bad reaction to a medication or medications, they have to be treated. Well, that comes with a cost. Right now, the cost of treating adverse drug reactions, which total over 2.5 million reactions each year in this country, is at $100 billion.
That's with a B.
With a B, yes.
Yeah.
And so that cost savings has to be added into that equation. And that we would see those same kind of savings on the state level with Oregon's universal health care system, which comes online in 2014. The governor is very supportive of chiropractic physicians, naturopathic physicians, nurse practitioners, acupuncturists, and other non-traditional medical providers, as have been referred to. I don't really like that term. It almost sounds less than. But we are headed in the right direction, and we've got the right governor to steer the ship in the right direction.
That's true. He's very supportive of all providers. He wants everyone to have input and participate and see what we can do to deliver health care more effectively at a less cost.
Exactly. And so, you know, part and parcel to that, and I have to give the governor, he's become one of my heroes. He stood up for what he said. He told us privately and in different public venues that there's a real opportunity for chiropractic physicians practicing the top of their licensure to help fill the primary care shortage. There's a real shortage of primary care providers, and it's only going to get worse as our universal health care comes online in 2014, where nearly a million Oregonians will be thrown into the health care mix, and they're not going to have primary care providers. Well, what we wanted to make sure was is that non-medical providers, chiropractic, naturopathic physicians, acupuncturists, are not discriminated against by the coming coordinated care organizations, which are part of a new way of delivering health care for the Oregon Health Plan recipients, the poor. It will be then applied to school districts and public employees and so forth, and if model works, offered on the Oregon Insurance Exchange as a product. But he stayed true to his word. He inserted our non-discrimination language into his bill, Senate Bill 1580, last session, and copied the very non-discrimination language found in the Accountable Care Act on the federal level that our federal coalition of CAM providers got into the Accountable Care Act, or Obamacare. And so that statutory language specifically states that the coordinated care organizations cannot discriminate against any health care provider practicing within their licensure or scope, and the same will apply to the insurance exchange, because federal law trumps state law, and so the federal law refers to insurers, so the insurance exchange also will not be able to discriminate against complementary and alternative medical providers, so consumers have access to our services. You know, we've heard before many times for decades that, well, you know, they can come to you if they want to. Consumers have freedom of choice to see you. Well,
not
yeah,
if
but they
don't
have insurance coverage.
Right, if they don't have coverage.
Exactly, and they have their disposable income, especially in this economy, is non-existent. So it's not fair to say they have clear access to it.
Right. Now, when they put up barriers, so how will the barriers be removed in the CCOs and this new model?
Well, with the non-discrimination language, specifically stating that you cannot discriminate against any health care provider. So
but then will they just say, well, you're not on the panel? Well, no, sorry, no chiropractors want to be on our panel, so therefore you can't see a chiropractor or a naturopath or an acupuncturist or whatever.
Well, there's two answers to that question. First of all, the non-discrimination language, this both on the federal level applying to the insurance exchange and on the state level relative to the CCOs, is not an any willing provider provision. So in other words, the CCOs and the insurance exchanges, the network, do not have to allow all chiropractic physicians or naturopaths or acupuncturists on the panel, but they must allow some of us. Okay, and then we talk about in the CCO law network adequacy, which needs to define what constitutes an adequate network.
Right.
And we're fighting to make sure that gets clarified. We had some language that our coalition of CAM providers put forward during administrative rule hearings and writing, and it was not adopted. And so we're probably going to have to go to the legislature to make sure that what constitutes an adequate network of the different provider types is, in fact, defined.
So is there a place for consumers who have a desire to have this access to alternative providers to make their voices heard?
Yes. Unfortunately, most consumers aren't aware of the goings-on and the links and where to go on the web. They need to go to the Oregon Health Authority webpage, the Oregon Health Policy Board webpage, and then there are periods of time when there's public comment. We orchestrated getting the word out to support the three issues we had with the coordinated care organization's statute and how we wanted things clarified in rule, administrative rule, and got public comment that totaled in the hundreds. But still, there was no change in the rules, which was very disappointing, but we're not letting up.
Uh-huh. Okay, we had a caller with a question about back pain and x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, and the costs.
Okay.
Obviously, the costs are huge, and they're overutilized.
Yes.
All of them. They're used as frontline diagnoses instead of physical exam in many cases.
Exactly.
Including in chiropractic offices.
Yes, and we have coverage guidance and guidelines relative to imaging that basically states that you are not to just simply take them routinely.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a clinical indication to take even plain film radiology, a history of trauma. There has to be something that you're suspecting as far as underlying frank pathology.
Serious neurological complaints.
Yeah, and the same is true with special imaging, such as CTs and MRIs. You just don't order them willy-nilly, because we know that there's a very high correlation, for instance, with MRIs and low back pain and increased spinal surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the more MRIs that are ordered, you'll eventually find an incidental disc bulge. Somebody, you know, our discs are made of bulge. It means nothing.
Right.
And you'll find a surgeon, if they're hungry, in a particular area that will do surgery on that incidental disc bulge. So more MRIs mean more back surgery. And you don't have to look any further than Oregon and what I affectionately refer to as Bend Over Oregon, which has the highest spinal surgical rate per capita in the nation. They also have the highest per capita MRIs in the nation. They've got, as I recall, and I'm not absolutely certain of this, but it's either 11 or 12 MRI scanners in Little Bend, Oregon, and they have 7 or 9 spine surgeons. And
got to keep them busy.
Well, that's the question that some legislators asked when I pointed this out, and they said, well, why is that? Is a lot of snow skiing accidents? And I said, well, we in the chiropractic profession would tell you it's not rocket science. It's because everyone wants to live in Bend, Oregon, because it's a great place, including spine surgeons. And they've got to pay for those homes on Aubrey Butte, Broken Top, and Pronghorn.
A little cynical.
A little. Just a little. But when you're talking about a knife in the back, I think you need to be.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and what blows my mind is the person comes in, they've already had an MRI, they had their problem started a week ago, you know, a couple of weeks of treatment, and their problem is gone. You say, well, you know, you can always add studies, but you can't take away.
Right.
So my feeling is, wait, if you don't improve or you degrade, then certainly.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, let's wrap up here.
Well, I would say the take-home message and my final thoughts is if we are really serious about changing how we deliver health care, which is required for true healthcare reform, not just changing how we pay for it or who pays for it, but fundamentally changing how we deliver healthcare. We must have all healthcare providers, especially the natural healthcare providers, chiropractic, naturopathic physicians, acupuncturists, massage therapists. We've got to get away from all of the pharmacology and get to prevention. And those providers can help achieve that.
Absolutely.
There's room under the tent for everyone.
Well, absolutely. Everybody has a place. And the important thing for providers is to know their place and to know when they need to make a referral. For patients, they need to know all their options.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's difficult, especially if you've either had a bad experience in the past with any provider or have heard something about a provider and not sure, you know, where to get your information. Most people get their information on what doctor to go to from their aunt, from their coworker. That may not be the most reliable place.
Exactly.
Well, my guest has been Dr. Vern Sabo. He's a chiropractor who is also a diplomate in neurology and orthopedics. Works with the governor on healthcare policy and is an all-around awesome guy. Thank you very much, Vern.
Thank you.
It's been great. I'll have you on again next time when the next thing changes, which will be the next time we turn around, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Very likely.
Yes, great. Well, thank you.